Well, Father, we just thank you tonight. And I just thank you, Father, that you want us to just regroup here and just start thinking about the miracles that you keep talking about. We're really not doing anything about it. And Father God, I know that there's many in the body of Christ and really want the miracles to come forth. So tonight I'm asking, Father, that a special anointing be poured out upon all the churches all over the land for miracles to start occurring. And Father God, these people who come out here in the Lighthouse Church are hungry and they're thirsty and they want the miracles to work. And I'm asking you to give them a special touch from heaven tonight. Let them leave here, Father God, with your glory just pouring through their bodies with the fire, Father God, to go forth with great signs, wonders, and miracles. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Children, you must understand that the more that you are seeking miracles, the more the enemy is going to fight you to make you believe there is no such thing as my miracle working power. So I am advising you this night to adjust the way you think about miracles. I want you to understand that you don't have to see somebody dying before you can believe for a miracle. If you will get up each and every day and just say, God, whoever needs the miracle today, let it progress. Let them receive that miracle in their bodies or whatever it is, God, that they may need. You see, children, you're all looking for somebody who's down and out, somebody who's sick and needs a miracle. There are many, many miracles that I can perform each and every day in each and every life. And I want you to start walking in this new formula for miracles. Seek my face continually. Ask me, how shall I pray today, Lord? What is it that you want to do today? And that opens a door, little ones, for me to go ahead and move into miracle-working power that is needed all throughout this land. There are many, many miracles going on right now, but there are so many more that I want to perform. These miracles that are going on right now are going unnoticed because people are not understanding what a miracle really is. But you, my children, you will go forth with direct communication from your Father, and I will teach you what a miracle really is, and then you will know how to proceed from that point onward. Do not be discouraged or even disgusted whenever you think that I should move and I don't. I know exactly what to do and when to do and how to do. And I know exactly the battle that's going on in each and every person's life that you don't see or don't know. So just stand in faith, little ones. Walk in the miracle working power, expecting me to move in any area of anyone's life at any given time. We thank you for it, Father. We give you honor and glory tonight, Father. We thank you. We thank you, Father. You know, I don't want to mix politics or world with the teaching, but, you know, we have this trial that's been going on. And yesterday God said, Monday was, daughter, he said, they're going to find him guilty because they find him innocent. There'll be riots all over the place, and they don't want riots. And he said the people that are going on the panel are scared, and they're running scared. And so sure enough, that's what happened today. And I read, I forgot who it was, his article, and he said that's exactly what went on. It's a shame that the world has come to this, where we can't live as brothers and sisters and love one another. And, you know, everything's become so corrupt, so very corrupt. And God needs us to stand steadfast, and we need to stand steady. We don't need to get caught up in all this mess and go crazy. We just need to know that we are God's, and we just need to listen and do what he's telling us to do and keep loving and keep forgiving and forgetting. I'm hearing God say, all right? All right, God said, there is coming across the land a glory cloud of miracles, the likes that has never been seen before. Be dead again. There is coming across this land a glory cloud of miracles, the likes that has never been seen before. I will continually instruct you how to move in this glory realm. All you need to do is walk in holiness and purity of heart for the miracles to move through you. As you know, the disciples did no mighty deeds until after my son Jesus died. You know, they did a few things, but didn't do any mighty deeds. So let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you that I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." So we see there we're going to need great faith to go forth and do the things that God's calling us forth to do. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Now let's stop there. We need to be ones. All right. Okay. So somebody writes you an email and says, "You know, I'm really sick and I really need prayer." According to this, what Jesus did, but somebody said that to them, they were immediately healed. So what needs to happen with us, then when we get an email or we get a phone call or somebody stops us in church and they said, I have a back pain or whatever it is, will you please pray for me? When we pray, they should be healed. Now, if enough of the glory of God is flowing in the sanctuary, they won't even have to ask for prayer. God will just heal them. Because the people in the sanctuary are walking in enough faith before they walk. I'm talking about just us, not the person that's sick. When they walk in the doors, they're bringing all that faith with them. And the faith is residing within the room. And when they ask for prayer, they'll be instantly prayed. Or don't even, healed and don't even ask for prayer, but they get healed. I remember one time, it just really strikes me with Brother Larry. He was here for prayer, and a prophetic word or something. And he started walking away. And I saw, "By the way, Larry, your back's healed." I didn't know he had a back problem. But he had a back problem where he couldn't sleep, couldn't lay down. He went home that night and went to bed and slept, I think it was 12 hours. And when he got awake, he said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to be able to move." And his back was healed. See, so he didn't ask for prayer. But God just told him, "Hey, by the way, buddy, your back's healed." This is the way that it should be with you and I. Jesus isn't here no more. The Holy Spirit is here. But we're supposed to be doing the greater works than what Jesus did. So therefore, we should be able to say, "Oh, by the way," not even knowing the person, God says, you're healed of that stomach ulcer or whatever it is. And then they get healed. You just don't say it and nothing happens, but they get healed. This is why this teaching's going on tonight. God wants us to understand what we're supposed to be flowing in. The anointing. Now, Brother Aaron asked me how deep the water was. I said, we're drowning in the water. We can no longer wade, walk. We're swimming in the water. We're in miracle time. And God wants to start performing miracles. And if you get an email or you hear somebody needs sick, if I was you, I would just say, "Thank you, God. You know that person. I want them healed right now." And then you're going to get a good report back that they were healed. Or whatever it is they have need of. You know, a miracle can come in many different ways. All right, now, let's go down to verse, where are we at, 15? 14. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. Okay, so see this now. Nobody said anything to Jesus. He just noticed somebody was sick. So Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and served them. So if you should have enough power and faith first, and then power flowing through you, that if you just see somebody sick, you just walk by and touch them, and they should be healed. I used to walk in that before I got into doubt and unbelief. I would just see somebody sick, and I'd just go by and say, how are you today? And lay hands on them. They were instantly healed. That is where God wants us at right now, this second. That's where he wants us. Doesn't want us to go there. He wants us to be there right now. Now, when evening had come, they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. And the word wasn't, come out, come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus. Angels, go get that demon out of there. You see what I'm saying? He has so much anointing in him, and we have the same anointing, that he just spoke a word and they left. So when he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Why did he do that? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Do you really believe that Jesus, when he died on that cross, that he really did take every one of the infirmities of anybody or everybody and bore their sicknesses? Do you really believe? You're going to have to believe that in order to walk in enough faith to watch people be healed instantly, not 10 years from now, instantly. So I don't believe that faith level is up enough for God to use us to cast out demons with a word or heal the sick just by touching them. Think about your own life. When Jesus had come to the other side, to the country of the Gerasenes, I know I spelled that wrong, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now, a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged Jesus, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. So every demon you cast out wants to go somewhere. Where do you send them to? Or do you forget to send them anywhere? So they just go around the corner and sneak around and come back in again. Think about that. So the demons, okay, and Jesus said to them, go. That's all he said was go. So when they had come out, see, he didn't do a 2-hour deliverance. He just said, go. And when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. See, God's trying to get across to us. Got to get across to us that we're spending too much valuable time getting demons out of people, when if we had the power and the true power and authority, one word would make them go. All right? Come on. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. So Jesus got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. So he didn't say rise up and walk, did he? And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. God told me one time, just the other day, that the reason why a person was sick was because of their sin nature. And they couldn't be healed because they wouldn't let go of their sin. And so this is what I'm quite sure why Jesus said to this man, your sins are forgiven you. And whenever he repented of his sins, healing came into play. Are you understanding this? So what I'm saying here is, excuse me, you might be praying for somebody to be healed. They don't get healed. But the bottom line is they're still in sin. And God isn't going to heal them until they get out of sin. Okay? So now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. God had given such power to men. That means you and I. We have the same power running through our veins that Jesus had running through his. In Matthew 9:18, while Jesus spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshiped Jesus, saying, my daughter has just died. See that? But come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Faith, that's pure faith, right? So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Faith. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. You're going to have faith that when you pray, they're going to be healed. And then sometimes they're going to have faith that when you pray, they will be healed. All right? So it doesn't have to have both components working together. Either your faith will heal that can heal them, or their faith can make them whole when you pray for them. Because Jesus didn't pray for her. She knew if she touched his garment, there was so much power in his garment. All right, so then this is where your handkerchiefs come into play and your prayer cloths. If you have enough power in you, then you keep prayer cloths laying around like I do. And then when people want a prayer cloth, you pray over it and give it to them and tell them to put it in their pocket or something, knowing that there's enough power in their prayer cloth to heal them. When Jesus came into the, and the woman was made well from that hour. Okay, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and a noisy crowd wailing, remember he was on his way to get this late girl who died and he got stopped along the way. Now, all right, so let's just talk about that. He was on his way to heal somebody, raise somebody from the dead. In the meantime, he got waylaid and had to work with somebody else's healing. Did that wane his anointing? No. He just did his job there and went on his way now to do this other job. So that's where we're at now. Jesus said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed Jesus. But when the crowd was put outside, all their doubt was put out of the room, Jesus went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. You know, Jesus didn't rub her head with oil and drowned her and this and that and the other, or pull her arms and legs. He just touched her and she was healed. Sometimes I watch people in the body of Christ. They think they have to do all kind of generics and, you know, gymnastic stuff. And you don't. Be healed. And you don't have to pray and rub their heads. And this is another thing. You pray too long. Are you trying to pray up your faith? Your faith should already be there and just say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Sometimes I sit back there and, you know, I watch it and just be quiet. You're saying too much. Just, you know, you're trying to make it happen. You can't make it happen. Either you have enough faith to believe that it's going to happen or you don't. The reason why that what happened to me was I just believe God could do anything, that because he said, anything you put your hands to, I will do for you. And people kept telling me, you can't do that. You can't do this. To the point one day I was standing right there. I was getting ready to pray for somebody. And I said, God, please make this happen. There was my doubt. And the person did not get healed. And up to that point, everybody was getting healed. I listened to men's voice too long. And it started getting into my mind. And I started believing that I could not and should not be doing what I was doing. But I've been doing it for many, many years. Don't go there. You are anointed of God, and man will always try to tear you down because they're jealous that you're walking in enough faith to see these things happen, and they don't have the faith to do it. Tonight, determine your heart that no matter what anybody says to you, you know what the Word of God tells you you can do, then do it. All right? Not where I'm at. 26, is that where I'm at, Nancy? 26, and the report of this went out into all the land, when, you know, because the girl rose from the dead. Now, 27, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him. So they followed him all over the place. What are you going to do with all these people following you? All right. Two blind men followed Jesus, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. But when Jesus had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? Testing their faith. They said to him, Yes, Lord. See, I said, please make this happen. Will you do this? And God, Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then Jesus touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. According to what? His faith, their faith, they would not no longer be blind if they had enough faith to believe that when Jesus touched him, they could see. How are people going to receive healing if they're not taught about healing? How are you going to understand that you have to go just go forth and walk in total blind faith if you're not told or read the scriptures and taught that you have to do this in order for you to see signs, wonders, and miracles? So he said, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. So whenever you find somebody can't speak, what's making them mute? A demon. You know, there's a demon of cancer. You know, there's always a demon behind sickness. It's either a demon or a curse being placed upon you. God does not make us sick. He did not create us sick. He created us whole. All right? And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never seen like this in Israel. I want you people to go out there and perform miracles, and they'll say, I have never seen Aaron do this type of thing before, and their eyeballs as big as golf balls. You see what I'm saying? You know, let's say Barbara's doing a women's a glow, and God shows her somebody needs healed, and she just walked over and says, Be healed in the name of Jesus, might even name the sickness, and they're instantly healed. And they'll say, I didn't know she had that in her. I want people to say that about you guys. It is possible. God has been building us up to this point, and we are now in the glory, and we are now in the time of signs, wonders, and miracles. Then Jesus went about all the, in Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What did he do? He taught and preached and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Not just one or two. Every, it says, and before it said all in the other scripture we read. It would be wonderful if you was, you know, let's just say in here, and let's just say Grace stood up and said, God just told me that everybody that has a bad heart, he's healing it right now, receive it. And then everybody in here that had a bad heart would be healed. She had faith enough to stand up and say it, and they had faith enough to receive it. Are you understand what I'm saying here? I mean, God can move upon any one of us at any given time to do that. And this is why he's teaching you what you need to know so you know how to walk in the glory realm. All right, so I was reading a while back where somebody said it. God told him in the meeting, you know, people were going to be healed of cancer, and people were going to lose weight, and people that had no hair were going to receive hair. And so before they started, they said everything Jesus said. And while he was teaching, all these things started happening, blew his service right to pieces. But see, because he said, God said, this is what's going to happen. That's what happened. The people's faith rose up immediately, and they received whatever they had need of. Wednesday night, God said, my glory is going to fall in here, or something like that. I didn't do the sermon, but that's exactly what he did Wednesday night, because I was going to tell you it was going to happen, but he did it without me telling you. You see this? You guys have to understand it. You are truly anointed to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. You just don't know how to get out there and do it. Now, verse 36. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In other words, I'll finish that. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. The laborers that God needs right now is people who can have enough faith to believe that they have enough power to speak the word, and people's going to be healed of anything. There's not enough people that believe that can happen. And God's calling this church forth to walk in that faith. We know it. I know it could happen. You know it can happen because of testimonies. And you know of things that's happened in your own life that God has done. God wants you. He said there's not enough laborers. Come on. It's signs, wonders, and miracles time. This night forth. You know, you don't have to be where the person's at. You just know they're sick or whatever they have need of. All you need is pray. Send the angel to go and do the healing, whatever it is they need. Because the angels are standing around all over the place waiting for us to tell them what to do. All right. Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 1. And when Jesus had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. Are you his disciples? Yes, he's done the very same thing to you. In Matthew 10, verse 7, Jesus said, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A lot of people that you're going to run into in the coming days aren't saved. You're going to have to get them saved and then get them healed. Don't put the cart before the horse. Make sure that you make sure that they are saved before you start doing healing on them. All right? In Matthew 12:40, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. A lot of people, I've been studying different things, a lot of people say Jesus never went to hell. It says right there he did. Jesus himself said he had to do it, didn't he? According to this scripture, when Jesus died, he went straight to hell, and there he defeated death, hell, and the grave. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus told the Apostle John that he holds the keys. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys to hell and of death. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 32 and verse 39. Now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. All right, let's stop there a second. I thought this next scripture tied in with the first one, but it didn't. Jesus said, I have the keys of hell and of death. So that means we have the keys also. That's why we can raise the dead. Are you understanding that? And you do have the power to raise the dead. But let's not go around doing dumb stuff either. You make sure you're just not doing it for a show, but you're really doing it for a purpose. Or maybe a person wasn't supposed to die just then. And you know, you raise it, and God allows you to raise them from the, it's your faith that does it. I mean, I had so much faith, I didn't know what to do with it for about 30-some years. Then finally, the voices around here in Dover made me believe I didn't know what I was doing. Isn't that stupid? Don't allow anybody to do that to you. And Job chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and worshiped." This is after he lost everything, all right? "And Job said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. But God had said before that, 'I make alive, I wound, and I heal, nor is there anyone who can deliver from my hand.'" And then Job said in 14:5, "Since a man's days are already determined, and the number of his months is wholly in your control, and he cannot pass the bounds of his allotted time." Now, the Message Bible says, "Mortals have a limited lifespan. You've already decided how long we'll live. You set the boundary, and no one can cross it." God told me when COVID started, nobody will die except those whose time is up. So everybody that has died to this point, that was their time to go. And really and truly, if you stop and think about it, if they would really go back and look at what happens every day on the normal, you have just as many people dying. And they were blaming a lot of deaths on COVID, and it wasn't COVID. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. "Everyone must die once, then they are judged. So Christ was offered as a sacrifice one time," and I believe God told us he was never going to put Jesus on the cross again. "So Christ was offered as a sacrifice one time to take away the sins of many people, and he will come a second time, but not to offer himself for sin. He will come the second time to bring salvation to those who are waiting for it, for him." Yeah, there is going to be a second return of Jesus, but it's all going to be about salvation. Isaiah 38:1-8, the Message Bible, is "Time Spent in Death's Waiting Room." That was a little subtitle above it. It says, "At that time, Hezekiah got sick. He was about to die. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, visited him and said, 'God says, prepare your affairs and your family. This is it. You're going to die. You're not going to get well.'" God told him to go tell Hezekiah that. Now, here's what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah turned away from Isaiah and, facing the wall, prayed to God. "God, please, I beg you, remember how I've lived my life. I've lived faithfully in your presence, lived out of a heart that was not totally yours. I'm sorry, that was totally yours. You've seen how I've lived, the good that I have done." And Hezekiah wept as he prayed painful tears. Now look what God did to it. Then God told Isaiah, "Go and speak with Hezekiah. Give him this message from me. God, the God of your ancestor David, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Here's what I'll do. I'll add 15 years to your life. And I'll save both you and this city from the king of Assyria. I have my hand on this city." So how many times has God used you prophets to tell somebody that God's going to do something, and next, say a month from then, you go tell them just the opposite? This happened to me because I said, "Wait a minute, God, you just said." Right here tells you why God just said. Those people prayed. They changed God's heart. And so God's letting them know, okay, I heard your prayer just like you did here. So this is what I'm going to do for you. All right? So you prophets, when you get out there, and you hear God contradict what he said before, don't try to change your message you're getting from God. Give it to him, because those people have prayed. All right, so he said, "I'll save both you and this city from the king of Syria. I have my hand on this city." Then he said, "This is your confirming sign." God's going to give him a sign, confirming that I, God, will do exactly what I have promised. "Watch for this. As the sun goes down and the shadow lengthens on the sundial of Ahaz, I'm going to reverse the shadow 10 notches on the dial And that's what happened. The declining sun's shadow reversed 10 notches on the down. God not only gave him 15 years after he told me he was going to die, he gave him a sign that what he said, it was him speaking. A while back, God said, and I told you all this, God told me, he said, daughter, when I call my people, whatever sickness they had, when I call them, is a sickness going to come off, come on again when I'm finished with them? I had cancer really bad. I was dying when God called me. And cancer had come back in my body. But I did like Hezekiah, and I said, God, you can't take me right now because I have two boys that need me. Please give me more years of my life. And God has. He didn't take the sickness away yet, but he has promised me that he will take the sickness away and return my youth. So I'm going to tell you, I know that we serve a God that does hear your prayers. And I know we serve a God that will reverse what he spoke, because he was going to take me back then. But I have two little boys that need me. You understanding this? Now I wish you'd just heal me. But I want you to understand all this whenever you go out there now after today and start using signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, when God called me and I started, I read the word. Whatever God said I could do, I believed I could do that. And I did it. And it happened. And God said to me, daughter, whatever you place your hand to do, I will do it for you. I'm going to back up your faith. I don't care what I ask God to do, he did it. Are you listening? Remember the story about the man who died, came back to life. Then God came and told me, I've got to take him because he won't serve me if I don't. And of course, I argued with God. And then God finally said, all right, here's how it is. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Are you listening? God had already told me the man was never going to serve him. And I argued with him. I said, God, he's a young man. He could change. And God said, whatever you say to do, that's what I'll do. And I said, go ahead and take him. I'd rather go to heaven than stay here, you know, and go to hell. That's the kind of God you've walked into. A God that trusts you enough and loves you enough that he'll say to you, whatever you say, that's what I'll do. But see, God also knows me. He knows I'm not going to do something stupid. That's important to know that too. God said, children, are you ready to take your faith? Go forth and allow miracles to flow through you. Now is the time. Now is the hour. The miracles will flow as you take your faith and go. Question to you. Are you ready to take your faith? Go forth and allow miracles to flow through you. Now is the time. Now is the hour. Now. I don't see no hospital rooms being emptied out. And I know some of you walk through the hospitals. I haven't walked in the hospital. So. No, but you see what I'm saying? If we have that, you know, God, if we have that much power and God said we would, then why are we not walking the hospital corridors just because? And watching the people get up out of those sick beds and walk out. Why are we expecting somebody else to even heal ourselves? We ourselves are supposed to be full of so much power that we can pray and God will heal us just through our faith. Are you listening? I don't know why things are going on the way they're going on. I'm just going to tell myself. A week ago, I said, God, please, when are you going to heal me? So I'm waiting on you. So I don't know what he's waiting on. And I said, well, you let me know what you want, and I'm going to give it to you. But he hasn't told me yet. Are you understanding this? But, you know, there's a lot of people who like to see me dead. A lot of people like to see you dead. You have to understand that. People don't like you because you serve God, and Satan has put in their heart not to like you, and they've put in their heart to come against you. And as they come against you, then that, you know, that holds up the blessings that God wants to pour out upon you. But if you just keep your faith flowing, Satan's got to quit. And God has told us that Satan has to quit. So what are you believing for tonight? Are you really believing for great signs, wonders, and miracles to produce yourself? Not so, and please don't get puffed up in pride. That will not work. God will drop you like a hot coal. You have to be doing this just because you think it's God says you can, and you're a child of God, and God said you can do it, and you see all these needs out there, and you just want to see God meet them. I remember when I first, about 2 months after I was born again, I went to Spirit-filled church, and God told me to go to one of the people. I was a deacon. They made me a deacon right away, and they told me to go to her home and talk to her because she was in sin. And I walked in, and she invited me in. She really liked me, you know, at that point. But anyhow, so I sat down and started talking to her. Then I started telling her about her sin nature that God had told me about. Well, that blew her mind. But anyhow, all of a sudden, she started throwing up green slime. And see, and I didn't know all about deliverance because I just got born again. And she ran to the bathroom, and she's throwing up the whole way. And then next thing I know, the pastor's at the door. She went back there to use the phone as she was throwing up. And she said, what do you think you're doing here? I said, well, God just told me to come here and talk to her about her sins. And I said, all this happened. I don't know what's going on. She said, you get out here and don't ever come back here again. She told the lady, she said, do you enjoy what you're doing? She was committing adultery. Do you enjoy what you're doing? And she said, yes. She said, keep on doing it. That's what her pastor told her. And she kicked me out of the door. So what I'm trying to say here, I didn't even know I had power because I hadn't been taught yet. But because I had power and authority and an anointing, when I walked in a room, that devil had to leave. That's what I'm getting at. The devil had to leave, and I didn't even pray for him to leave. I didn't know anything about that. So if you really have power and authority, the Holy Spirit will work through you, and the Holy Spirit will do what needs to be done. You don't have to do anything. All right?